I'm Shane Hewitt, guest host here this week. Your calls and your texts are welcome. Let us know what is on your mind. 71010 on the text, 416-872-1010 locally, 877-518-5151 is the toll-free number. If you're calling from far away, feel free, reach out, because we want to know your thoughts on this budget day today. Now, I can be corrected if I'm wrong, but the only two people that are excited about budgets are the people that give the money and the people that get the money. The people that actually own the money don't seem to pay a lot of attention, and I'm hoping that this is a segment right now that is going to bring some insight on what this looks like. Now, before we get to our guests, which includes Scott Reed, CTV political commentator and advisor to a number of prime ministers, premiers, and political leaders, multi-levels of government, Gratan Singh, VP at Crestview Strategy, community advocate and lawyer, and Deb Hutton, former advisor to two premiers in this conversation. Let's get a summary of what's gone on here with Siobhan Morris, CTV Toronto Queen's Park reporter.
The government says this is a spending plan for a time when the finances of Ontarians and the province are being strained.
It's a plan that provides certainty to markets and confidence to people that their government is ready to face any challenge the global economy might throw our way.
Called Building a Better Ontario, it's the biggest spending plan in the province's history. It lays out more than $214 billion in spending. Health accounts for almost 40% of that, followed by the hodgepodge of other programs, education, and interest on the province's debt at almost $14 billion. The government's trying to shrink the number of Ontarians without a primary care doctor, spending almost $546 million over 3 years to connect 600,000 people with team-based care, building a new medical school in Vaughan tied to York University focused on training family doctors. There are some tidbits for drivers here. The gas tax cut is here to stay until at least the end of the year, shaving more than 5 cents off the fuel price, but costing the province more than $1 billion annually. At this point, there's no promise to make this temporary relief permanent.
We're going to constantly look at our options. We're going to take a stock of the environment that we're in. But one thing we do know that right now many people are hurting.
The government hopes to open up options for auto insurance, allowing drivers to opt out of coverage that might be duplicated through a workplace plan. But there's no particular savings target in mind.
It depends where you're driving, record, and so on. But what we're really focused on is making sure that we provide as much choice and convenience.
GTA police agencies will have eyes in the sky to track down car thieves as well as missing people. The OPP is getting nearly $50 million to buy 4 helicopters to help deal with crime. The government's already committed more than $1 billion for municipal infrastructure to help get to the goal of building 1.5 million homes by 2031. They're also encouraging cities to develop their own vacant home tax or offer lower tax rates to new multi-unit rental buildings.
I think fiscally we're being responsible. We're also investing in the things that matter to the people of Ontario on our plan to build. And I just believe you can walk and chew at the same time.
The return to fiscal balance has been pushed further down the road. What was expected to be a small surplus for the year ahead is now a $9.8 billion deficit. The government projects a $4.5 billion hole after that, returning to surplus just in time for the next provincial election.
Now, that is a summary of the Ontario budget today. It goes deeper than that. There is more to that. Scott Reed, Gratan Singh, and Deb Hutton are here for Smart Speakers to talk about that. I'm Shane Hewitt. Now, sorry to everybody else, but Deb and I have met. And it's so I'm going to give Deb the first crack at this. Hi, Deb.
Hi, Shane.
I'm glad you're here. It's nice to be able to do radio with you and not just be behind the scenes in this conversation. So I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the way all of this lands today from your perspective.
Yeah, I'm sad. I am disappointed. I have a tremendous regard for Peter Bethlen Falvey. I think he is an incredibly competent individual, businessman, and politician, but I am disappointed in the choices that the government made today. Scott and I had an opportunity to discuss this morning on round one on More in the Morning. I don't like deficits. That may make me an old fiscal economic dinosaur, but I don't like deficits. And I don't like tax hikes. And I don't like deferring big ticket items like infrastructure. So what I do like is spending reductions. And when I hear that we are spending 35% more than Kathleen Wynne, it makes me sad.
Well, that is certainly a benchmark from the past that many people can relate to, Deb Hutton. When we talk about the Ontario budget, it is interesting. I always look at it from the perspective of, if I as a citizen don't have enough money, then I can't spend the money, or I need to go get the money. Interest rates and all things unpredictable on that level right now certainly create a bit of an exposure, that's for sure, on what is the deficit. I mean, the impact of that can be huge.
Yeah, and again, you know, let me keep my conservative card by saying kudos for no new tax hikes. Mm-hmm. Kudos for no new, you know, revenue tools, as politicians like to say. So for that, I applaud the minister. And as I said, I also applaud him for continuing down the path of the big infrastructure things, because too many politicians make that short-term decision at the long-term expense of our province's growth. But then what you have to do, for me, is rein in spending. And not only am I not seeing even a nod to reining in spending, but we're going to be spending not what we did last year, but another $7 billion more this year.
Grattan Singh, VP at Crestview Strategy, community advocate and lawyer. Well, are we setting ourselves up and just planning to lose? Is that what the setup is, or do you disagree with the way this goes?
Well, it's funny because Deb and I are both sad, actually, looking at this budget, but for very different reasons. I'm sad because I don't feel like this budget actually meets Ontarians where they're at right now. If you're looking for a family doctor, if you're a young person struggling to find affordable housing, if you're struggling with the cost of living, this budget is just not for you. Well, if we look at what often the Conservative government will do, is they'll tout a budget that is actually the brand as something to help people. When you actually look at the specifics of it, there's usually a lot of criticism that can be found there. So we see that there is an increase for funding for hospitals, but there's also $1 billion decrease in planned spending compared to last year, because there's no planned spending on Bill 124 compensation settlements. For those of you who don't know, the government froze the wages of public sector workers, including healthcare, our frontline healthcare workers. That was found to be unconstitutional. Now they owe a lot of money in back pay, but we're not seeing that that money being planned for. And so ultimately, we're going to see potentially huge drops with respect to our healthcare funding. When we look across the board, the issues that people are facing, when you look at the crises that people are facing with respect to their ability to access a family doctor, we're not seeing enough done. This is not going to bring in the access to the millions of Ontarians who are without a doctor right now. 2.3 million people without a doctor in the province. It's expected to rise to 4.4 million by 2026. No, what the government's proposing is not going to help address that. So when we look at the issues that people are really faced with, when you look at education and what's happening there with the not enough spending being done for our education and educators and education workers, it's going to leave a lot of people back. Our classroom sizes are too large. We're not seeing the investments in education and healthcare in the areas that really impact working class families. And because of that, I'm also sad when I hear about this budget.
Well, it's a sad day, everybody.
Can I just ask?
That's for sure.
Yeah, I need to ask, Shane. So 40% of the budget spent on healthcare. We're going up by $7 billion this year. Healthcare is going up line over line, year over year. And that's not enough? Like, you want to make me more sad, Grattan?
I could answer that.
Well, why don't we let Scott take that one? Because I was going to ask Scott if he was sad, too.
Oh, I'm sad. But, I mean, you have to understand, I'll be 56 in 4 weeks, and I'm overweight. And, my God, there's nothing to look forward to. Look, here's my take.
Well, a good healthcare system sounds like it would be important to you, then.
Exactly. The government's made a deliberate... Deb is highlighting the most crucial political decision that was made here. They made a decision to not balance the budget. What creates a $9.8 billion deficit next year? A really, really, really low ball growth estimate from the government. They decided not to balance the budget because they know politically when there is this crisis in frontline healthcare, particularly in terms of family doctors and emergency wards, when our university sector is in absolute turmoil and half our universities look like they could go into bankruptcy, and our long-term care programs and facilities remain a jungle, they know that if they announce they've balanced the budget, it will look like they have a peculiar priority. Deb will like it, but most voters won't. So they've decided to hold their powder, lowball their growth estimates, tell us that, my God, we're still pinched, and that's why we're not doing these things. And 2 years from now, on the eve of an election, they are going to pump acres and acres. We will have a quote-unquote healthcare budget on the eve of the election. That's how they're playing this. These are all deliberate decisions, and they're not stupid politically.
Well, we're seeing a lot of that politically on all levels of government right now, which is, you know, the delay tactics until it's election time and everyone needs to look good. Okay, Scott Reed is here. Garatan Singh is here as well. Deb Hutton as well. My question when we come back is, are we seeing a major effect on federal budgets and that just narrative on the decisions that are being made for the people of Ontario? Because I have questions. We'll come back with more. I'm Shane Hewitt. Smart speakers will continue here on The Rush.
You're listening to The Rush on News Talk 1010 Toronto.
I'm Shane Hewitt, guest host here on The Rush. Smart Speakers is the segment. We've got Scott Reed, Garatan Singh, and Deb Hutton here on the queue. Budget day is the topic. And the question I've got, just a yes or no answer from everybody on this particular question. Two of the narratives that we've seen federally right now include, you know, this push off of the expectation of the election until fall 2025. Some people say it was going to be there anyway. But I mean, I think some of the moves we've seen federally push that off. But that does impact everyone's perception of what happens provincially. The Bank of Canada has released this productivity warning, which we'll talk about later on here. If you don't know what it is, that Canada is not producing enough right now in order to get out of inflation. Do those narratives impact how this budget is perceived and what the province needs to do, Deb?
I only get yes or no, so I guess I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Garatan?
I would say I'm going to go with a no.
Okay. And Scott?
I'm going to say no, but I'll freely confess that I'm not crystal clear when I'm answering any longer. Sorry.
All right, very good. So let me go from this perspective. I think that when people of Ontario look at things like budgets, they think of it more like, I pay how much land transfer tax when I bought my house? Or why is this lineup at Service Ontario out the door? I just need a new license plate. Does this budget, Scott, service the people of Ontario today?
No, it's a punt on third down budget, and it's designed to be that way. They know that they have big issues coming in frontline healthcare. They know they got a massive crisis in the university sector. They don't want to deal with them right now. And they know they have to balance the budget. They know it's going to be inevitable before the next election. They don't want to deal with all those things. So they're kind of just treading water, navigating the shoals, and trying to pick the least politically unpopular play because they know the budgets that will matter most are the ones on the eve of the election. And that makes political sense. It's just not going to be all that rewarding for a bunch of people who are saying, I would actually like things to be better now, not later.
Garatan, you can respond to that because I know that you were looking at more for people today.
Well, that actually summarizes a lot of my criticisms. The fact is that we're in a point of crisis right now when we talk about our healthcare system. When we talk about 2.2 million in or about of Ontarians without access to a family doctor, that number going up to 4 million plus in a matter of years. When you talk about the state of wait times and access to hospitals, this is a crumbling infrastructure. It's chronically underfunded. All of it is around, with a conversation around the added cost and wait time that the Ford government's failed privatization healthcare scheme is going to cost and impact Ontarians with. So the government needs to do a lot right now. The people of Ontario are struggling. They're struggling to get access to a doctor. They're struggling to get the care they need at a hospital and not wait, you know, sometimes over 12 hours to get the care that they need. When we look at the crisis that people are facing, no, this is still steady as you go for the Conservatives. They don't want to have a story that they're cutting, but in many ways, they're not providing the funding necessary for these very crucial institutions. And the end result is that people are not going to see their lives improved from this budget. And that's going to be the ultimate story that comes months down the road. And when that happens, that's when people start to look at their government and say, well, where are my tax dollars going if I'm paying, but I'm not getting the care that I need?
Right, Deb. Now, you said before about the deficit. I would like you to comment on both of those statements, too. I mean, it does take money to spend money, but if you don't have any money, to me, it sounds like you shouldn't be spending it.
Yeah, but the reason I'm sad about this budget is the reason that my liberal and socialist friend on the panel should actually be happy.
Fair enough.
Great. Social democratic and liberal friend should be thrilled. $214 billion of spending, 35% more than Kathleen Wynne, our last Liberal premier, could spend. 40% of that on healthcare. Those 40%, and it's up, Scott. It's up in this budget.
Healthcare spending. Healthcare spending is up by 1.3%. Healthcare is up by 1.3% in this budget. We have a frontline family doctor crisis up by 1.3% on a per annum basis, and inflation is running at 2.8%. So, like, this is not drunken sailor spending.
Well, it feels like it to me. And just hang on a second, Grattan. And a brand new medical university. Brand new. I will tell you, one of the smartest things the Harris I was just about to say, Scott, one of the smartest things and the best investments the Harris government did was a Northern Ontario medical school. And it has helped us tremendously. If we didn't have it, imagine where we would be. Look, you can spend every last cent on healthcare with a growing population, with growing expectations. You're never going to spend enough. The question is, where are you putting your priorities? And what I saw in healthcare are priorities that, to use Grattan's lingo, you know, are meeting people where they live.
Well, if Kathleen Wynne is the new bar for this government, then they've set their sights incredibly low. That's one of the, you know, a government that resulted in the Liberal Party turning into the minivan party. So I don't think that's
not on spending.
This is the progressive party. But what I will say is this. People are in a point of crisis, and when you're not giving money enough money, rather, to result in people being able to access a family doctor in time or be able to go to the hospital and get the care they need when they're put in a crisis, when we see emergency rooms shutting down across this province, when we see the fact that the Ford government is putting in place a failed privatized plan that's going to cost people more.
Sure, and also I get that. I'm going to interrupt time. Right there, Grattan. Sorry, but I want to say this, is that the reality is that all those things are, sure, valid. Everyone wants to get into the doctor sooner. I know from my experience, it's a lot easier to get into a doctor in Ontario than many other provinces. And the reality of the matter is that we can say, let's give money, but if there's no money to give, how is it that we should just keep doling it out and expect the future is going to be better?
You can't afford to not invest in your health care. That is
we can't afford it. The deficit literally says we can't afford it. That's exactly what it says.
It doesn't say that.
For dollars and cents, it does.
There's a difference between wealth and income. This is BS kitchen counter comparison. That's not how it works for a government. I worked for Paul Martin. He was a pretty good finance minister, and we balanced the budget. The reality is, it's about whether or not you can borrow money, whether or not you can manage your economy. They could balance the budget next year if they wanted to. They chose not to by underplaying their estimates. The critical issue is, do you want to spend more on family doctors or not? And they decided not this year. That's the bottom line here. They decided to make it a budget that wouldn't do as much as it could have, because they want to hold that off until an election year.
Scott Reed, Grattan Singh, and Deb Hutton here on the Smart Speakers. We're just out of time, everybody. I would like to thank you for being here. This is my first budget panel with everybody, and there's so much that I think that the people of the province need to take away from the bits and pieces, and everybody that gets an opinion, everyone that gets a voice needs to be able to step and do that. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I appreciate it. Now, I hate to cut that conversation off, but the reality is that the time is the time, and it is what it is. Now, one of the things is productivity. There is a warning federally that says we're not productive enough. Is that legit? Well, it seems that we won't break inflation unless we get there. We'll start our conversation next hour with that. It's The Rush. Guest host, Shane Hewitt.